anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can't get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in his roundabout, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can't get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Well, it all started about 40 Thanksgivings ago. 40 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I decided to go up and visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice didn't used to live in the restaurant. She used to live in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Fatcha the dog. And living in the bell tower like it, they used to have a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. Seeing as how they took out all of the pews and having all that room, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, found the place was filled with garbage. We decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the town dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rigs and implements of destruction and headed on toward the town dump. We got there, and there was a sign and a chain across the road saying, "Closed on Thanksgiving." We'd never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. So with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset, looking for another place to put the garbage. And we didn't find one till we come to a side road. And off the side of the side road, there was a 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff, there was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile be better than two little ones. Rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. Guess what we did? Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat. Went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we got a phone call from Officer O'Day. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage. Just wanted to know if you had any information about it." I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obi. Cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." Because after talking to Obi for about 45 minutes on the telephone, then we finally arrived at the truth of the matter, and Obi said we had to go down and pick up the garbage. We also had to go down and talk to him at the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one of two things that Obi could have done at the police officer station, and the first thing was he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest over the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. And, of course, the other possibility was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that, well, we hadn't counted on. And we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. I said, "Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." We sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, "scene of the crime," unquote. Friends, I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this was happening. They got three stop signs, two police officers, and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plastered tire tracks, footprints, dog-smelling prints. They took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner. That's not to mention the aerial photography. put you in the cell. Give me your wallet and your belt. I said, oh, Bill, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell. What do you want my belt for? He said, kid, we don't want any hangings. I said, Obi, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure friends Obi was. Because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. Took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, have an escape and get away. Obi was making sure all right. And it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? Mrs. Stelton saw about Alice. She'd come by, and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, she bailed us out of jail, and we went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning, when we all had to go to court. We walked in. Sat down. Obi come in with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circle sparrows and the paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. He sat down. A man come in. He said, all rise. And we stood up. And Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows, and the judge walked in with a CNI dog. He sat down, we sat down. Obi looked at the CNI dog, then at the 27 8x10 color glossy pictures with the circles and arrows, and looked at the CNI dog. And Obi began to cry. Obi come to the realization that this was a typical case of American blind justice. There's no way the judge was going to look at the 27 8x10 color glossy. Well, it didn't matter, because we was fined $25 each. We had to pick up the garbage in the snow. That's not what I come to talk about tonight. I just thought I'd mention it. Thought I'd talk a little bit about the draft. A lot of people think that's just from years ago, but tell that to the guys who are being called up after years ago. they got that building down in New York City on Whitehall Street. And that's where you used to have to go in, get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. And I remember I had to go down there one morning a long time ago for a physical examination. So I got good and drunk the night before, because I wanted to look my best when I went in that morning. I mean, I wanted to look like, I wanted to be, I wanted to feel, I wanted to be like an all-American kid. When I went in that morning, I was hung down, I was burnt down, I was hung up, I was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking things. I walked in, I sat down. Give me a piece of paper, said kid. See the psychiatrist, room 604. I went over there, I said, shrink, I want a cure. And I want a cure. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth, eat dead bird bodies. I mean, kill. And I started jumping up and down, yeah, but kill. And he started jumping up and down with me. We was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Till the sergeant come over, pinned the medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. I didn't feel real good about it, but I proceeded on down the hall, get more injections, inspections, all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And proceeded through until I finally come to see the very last man. I walked up, I said, what do you want to see me about? I said, kid, question. Have you ever been arrested? I told him the story in the Alice's restaurant. Has to do with 5-part harmony, full orchestration, all kinds of the phenomenon. He stopped me there and said, "Kid, did you go to court?"
Too late. Get that guy out of here.
Imagine two of them. tell them you ain't going. So imagine three of them. They might think of some kind of organization or something. Or maybe 50. Maybe 50 people a day going in, singing some Emphasis restaurant, walking out. Friends, they might think it's a movement. And most of them be too young to remember what a movement was. Just at the end or something.